Hello and welcome everyone back to the Hold for Hold Pro Wrestling Podcast. I am your host, Jaime. I am here at the Hold for Hold headquarters, aka my cramp closet. And wow, we have a show for today, man. We got some weird stuff going on in pro wrestling. I guess that's like the best way to put it. Personally, had a weird day as well, so everything's kind of getting mixed in there. Didn't know if I was going to be recording today. We had power outage here at the house, and then I found out my boss is leaving my job, so now I'm going to get a new boss, so nervous about that. And so, you know, just a lot of things going on, but I'm here, I'm in the closet, I'm recording this podcast. I picked my head up, you know, my snapback was falling, and I'm ready, you know. Let's talk some pro wrestling news to kick us off. If you're new here, I normally do the big news stories first, and then I cover SmackDown, then Raw, and then I do an overview, and then I go to AEW and do some, what do I start with? Dynamite, and then I do Rampage, and then normally I give a little bit of a teaser for what's coming up on this week's Dynamite. So, you know, that's the usual routine in case you're new here. So let's just start off with the pro wrestling news. Let's start with the biggest news story there is in this last 24 hours. And that is Sasha Banks and Naomi, the current WWE Women's Tag Champions. They walked out of Monday Night Raw. Personally, I believe this is a shoot. I think they legitimately walked out of the arena. You know, not a no-call, no-show, but, you know, they no-showed their match that they were scheduled for, and so some things had to change on the fly. They were originally set to compete in a six-pack challenge on Monday Night Raw against Becky Lynch, Asuka, Doudrop, and Nikki A.S.H. For the number one contendership for the Raw Women's Championship. And they walked out. I have a statement from WWE. WWE released a statement. That's weird in itself about a walkout. So I'm going to read it in quotes, verbatim, how it was posted. Okay, here we go. During the broadcast, they walked into WWE Head of Talent Relations John Laurinaitis' office with their suitcase in hand, placed their tag championship title belts on his desk and walked out. They claimed they weren't respected enough as the tag team champions, and even though they had 8 hours to rehearse and construct their match, they claimed they were uncomfortable in the ring with two of their opponents, even though they'd had matches with those individuals in the past with no consequences. To me, so that's the schedule, or that's the statement. To me, this is so petty. This is some beyond petty stuff right here. Speaking of which, Corey Graves caught some fire too during Raw. He like said that they used to be professionals or something like that. And I had heard it, but I didn't really register it. So excuse me if it's not correct, but he caught some heat for that. This statement to me is extremely petty, and it comes off as a shoot for me because of the word rehearse. I don't think WWE would ever openly say rehearse or construct their match if they weren't, you know, breaking kayfabe. I don't think they would go into that much extent. I think that if this was kayfabe, I believe they would have kept that first half and just cut out that sentence about the 8 hours to rehearse their match, and then possibly kept in they claimed they were uncomfortable. It's just a weird situation there. So personally, I see this as a shoot. I think they actually did walk out, and I think WWE's statement is one of probably many of their ways of quote-unquote punishing them for doing so. And it's a weird situation. We don't have many details about like what exactly Sasha Banks and Naomi said or what their grievances were, and if there's any facts in this about the two individuals that they're uncomfortable working with. Because, I mean, in that match, the only two individuals that they've worked with, that both of them have worked with, are probably Asuka and Becky Lynch. So I don't know what's going on there. Becky Lynch during the course of Raw actually does bring up them walking out. So I don't know. That seems a little weird. So yeah, that's the biggest news story right now. We don't have many details. I'm not going to go into the full, like, people have been tweeting so much just filler, essentially. They're like, oh, well, they've been tense all day. No shit. If they plan to walk out, I'm sure they were tense all day. So it's just not many factual details out there yet. But when we do have those, I'll do an update on this story. Speaking of updates on stories, I guess we can talk about Kota Ibushi. Last week, I remember I was getting off work and I was hearing all these rumors about Kota not being happy with New Japan. And that turned out to be very true. Essentially, he was supposed to be cleared to compete in the New Japan Cup and then win the cup, but then he was pulled, even though he claims he had clearance from his doctor, the president. Now I forgot if he's the president or not, but let's just say a official with power in New Japan is seemingly petty, according to him, and pulled him out of that match because he spoke up about Shibata having a match at Wrestle Kingdom and Kota not being allowed to have a match there. It's weird. And then his injury, and then that guy wanted him to still wrestle, but he didn't want to wrestle, and so he punishes him by taking him out of the New Japan match. It's a lot of he said right now, one-sided story. But yeah, that's basically the update with that. It's just a lot of drama there. And I guess his future is kind of up in the air with New Japan, because Kota Ibushi is a main event player. I mean, he was carrying that company for a good bit of the pandemic and even before it. And possibly their hottest star, other than maybe Okada and Jay White, he is a big deal. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with that. There's still been like no real update since that, so we'll have to see. But let's move on past updates. Let's talk about another bizarre story here. Ric Flair is seemingly coming back. He can't retire, man. He just won't. He wants to have a multi-man match at StarCast this year, which will take place in Nashville, Tennessee, adjacent with, I believe, SummerSlam. This is weird, man. I don't want to see Ric Flair wrestle at all. I have no want for that. But alongside his return match after like 11 years, there's going to be a roast of Ric Flair at StarCast. That was announced today. Yeah, I mean, I think his career has been roasted to hell since the Dark Side of the Ring episode. I don't know how much worse a roast could really get, and I really don't want to hear some of the jokes that are going to happen there. So yeah, just another bizarre world. The only other major news that I thought I should talk about but didn't necessarily feel like it had any meat to it, and that's MJF's contract. As we'll talk about later on, he brings up he keeps bringing up that he's going to be a free agent in 2024. He's going to be the hottest free agent, which is probably true. But apparently there is like some negotiation stuff going on. He wants more money, which he should get more money, because when he signed his original deal at the inception of AEW, he wasn't worth as much as he is now. He is worth a lot more than he is than he was back then. So that's really it, though. There was a lot of rumors going around. Those kind of got debunked about, like, him having heat. I don't really necessarily think that. I think that people are just, like, kicking this down the line until after AEW gets their new TV deal and they can see how much money they have to play around, which I kind of predict AEW getting a big TV deal for the numbers that they put up. I know a lot of people like to dog on Rampage, but I don't think people understand how hard it is to get cable ratings nowadays with the amount of crap that is on demand always, you know? And that's not really me being a AEW mark, because I think it's the same can be said for all wrestling everywhere. To be able to get like hundreds of thousands of people to watch your show every week is a big deal nowadays. The only people putting up those kind of numbers are live shows like that. And to be in that running is significant. So yeah, we don't know where that's going, but I'm sure MJF's going to get a lot of money in 2024, whether it's in AEW or in WWE. Speaking of WWE, let's get on to the WWE side of this review, starting with Friday Night SmackDown. Okay, SmackDown. This was a pretty good episode of SmackDown. I dare say it was a great episode of SmackDown. It kind of flew by completely, with one of my favorite segments of the entire week going down on here. But we can talk about that when we get there. The show opened up with RK-Bro. They essentially want to challenge the Usos. Sorry, blink there. The Usos to unify the tag titles again. And they're interrupted by Sami Zayn, who is sporting a lovely Bloodline t-shirt. And he comes out there and stands up for the Bloodline because he's a locker room leader. And he kind of gets tricked by Orton into having a match with Matt Riddle, which is next. That segment was fantastic. Sami Zayn is just so much fun. Whether he is heel, face, what have you, he's just a great talent. But yeah, next up we have Sami Zayn taking on Riddle in that match. It's stellar. It's a really good match. Apparently Tyson Kidd produced this match, and he's been getting a lot of good buzz for his producing work lately, and this is no different. It's a really good pro wrestling match. That ends with a Bro Derek after Sami Zayn was like trying to get his count out win like he did with Nakamura. But Riddle beats the count, and as Sammy's arguing with the ref, he turns around and eats a Bo Derek for the win. Following that, we go right into the Bloodline's lounge, and Roman is sitting there in his throne. He says, "Wiseman, I don't understand why RK-Bro are still on our show. We smashed them." This is good stuff, man. I love Roman Reigns. And then the Usos say that they have something to prove, and we'll find out what that is later tonight. We go commercial, we come back. Sami Zayn is coming back to the back from his match. God, that was hard to say. And Nakamura meets him there. He's kind of just so smug about Sami Zayn losing. He's like, "If Roman's the head of the table, then Sami, you're the ass of the table." Good stuff. Following that, we get a Ronda Rousey promo. She essentially just like recaps everything that happened with Charlotte and announces that she's going to be hosting an open challenge tonight. And then we get that open challenger in Raquel Rodriguez. This is a great showing for Raquel. She works still babyface, but like as a dominating babyface. And she nearly gets a win here, but eventually gets rolled up out of the Chingona Bomb. It's a great counter to the Chingona Bomb because she has her up, and you know how she uses the one arm. It looks like Ronda's looking for like a cross arm breaker, but she actually like cradles her in, holds that arm, and it's just a great roll up there. I really enjoyed it. Looked very real and natural. Following this, we have an open challenge inner workings meeting. I really love this stuff because this is something you don't see very often. It's just Pierce is backstage. Shotzi's yelling at him that Raquel shoved past her to answer the open challenge. And then Lalia comes in the frame and she's like, "Are you telling him how you locked me in the locker room when the open challenge was announced?" And then Pierce is like, all right, you two, blah, blah, blah. And they ask if they're going to get a title match. And he's like, "No, that was it. That was the open challenge." I like that stuff. It makes the locker room feel very dynamic. It makes characters feel like they intertwine with each other, even if we don't see it. It's good stuff. Following this, we had Madcap Moss. He runs down Baron Corbin again, but he also talks his future plans, possibly having a mixed tag team with Sasha Banks calling it Madcap Boss. I'm not saying that is what drove Sasha over the edge, but it is a contender. He also talks about Money in the Bank, but then Baron Corbin attacks him from behind and then puts the steel chair around Moss's neck, picks up the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal trophy. I hate having to say all that. But he picks up the trophy and smashes his neck with the trophy. It looked rough. Like, I think he's fine. Like, that's how rough it looked. Like, I have to think. I have to remember, like, okay, this is a scripted television show, as that statement said earlier. But yeah, this is, that was rough to watch. And they like show Moss getting into the ambulance, and Corbin does a really bad joke about a hospital. But yeah, it was good stuff. Good stuff. I'm excited to see where this goes. I think Madcap is definitely getting written off for at least a week or two. So we'll see what he returns to. But then following that, we have the tag titles. Jeez, I just talked about Sasha Banks and Naomi for so much. Tag titles on the line against Shayna Baszler and Natalya. This is a great match. It ends with Naomi getting a roll-up on Natalya when Natalya was looking for the sharpshooter. Following this, we have possibly my favorite segment of the week. I don't know. That MJF stuff we're going to talk about was pretty good. But this was definitely my WWE segment of the week. It's Drew Gulak in the back with Ricochet, and he's confiding in Ricochet like, man, I don't know if I can keep going like this. Times are tough. And Ricochet just says, pick your head up, king. Your crown is falling. But he basically tells him to control his narrative. He's like, you need to take matters in your own hand. Like, worry about what you can control. And so Drew's fired up after this. He's like, you're right. I'm not going to let Gunther chop me down anymore. And so he walks a little bit, turns the corner, and Ludwig's there. He's like, what'd you say about Gunther? And then Gunther Volter comes out of nowhere, slams Drew up against the wall, and then just rips his entire shirt off his chest in one fluid motion, and then chops the shit out of him. And Drew is just sat there, post-chop, holding his tit, so embarrassed and just like an ego death right in front of you. It was so good, so well done. And I'm so glad that they're continuing this feud. As I mentioned last week, this is a dream match for me, and I think this is going to deliver on a lot of levels. But following that, man, I just even talking about it makes me so excited. Following that, we have Peter Dune, aka Butch, taking on former WWE champion Kofi Kingston. This is a fine match. I didn't really care too much about it, even though I was just so giddy after the Drew segment. But Sheamus distracts Kofi, and that allows Peter Dune to get the bitter end for the win. And commentary is being so weird about like not knowing that that move's called a bitter end. They're like, whoa, we've never seen a move like that. But then Michael Cole, like winking a nudge, he's like, yep, that's the bitter end for Kofi Kingston. And so, you know, it's stupid. But then after that, we have Sami Zayn outside the Bloodline's door. He's pleading with Paul Heyman to let him explain himself to Roman. You know, he just wants to make sure they're synergized. It's great stuff. Obviously, Heyman is not going to let him in. But then following that, we have the main event segment. It's the Bloodline coming down. They ask the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania to acknowledge him. And they do. Everyone acknowledges Roman. Roman states that usually the Bloodline comes down after a Sunday of smashing people, and they tell him who's next. You know, I smashed John Cena, came down and said who's next. I smashed Brock Lesnar, and well, now there's no one left. So Roman thinks he's done. He's like, bro, I'm done. I'm untouchable. Ain't nobody really messing with me. I'm the one. And so he says, but the Usos, they have a challenge in front of them. And so RK-Bro come out to the ring. Randy just immediately fires off that, yes, you smashed John Cena, but John Cena's 10 times the superstar you'll ever be, Roman, which was weird. I mean, it was fine, but it was whatever. And then Riddle says that Riddle says that the RK-Bro need to make the tag unification title match happen. Orton explains the concept of the tag title unification match to the Usos because he claims that they share a single brain cell, which that'd be interesting if they did. And then the Usos are like, all right, whatever, we accept your challenge. And by the end of it, there's going to be two titles on my shoulders, two titles on Jay's shoulders, and two titles on Roman's shoulders. And when they say that, Roman's, you know, about to put up his two titles that he already has. And then Riddle just nails him with a V-trigger on out of nowhere. Not expected that on Roman Reigns. And it really jars Roman. He's like shocked that this guy would do that. And they retreat. And that's the end of SmackDown. Like I said, this is a breezy SmackDown. It's been nice to have both Raw and SmackDown feel like they're on equal pages in terms of creatively, like good stuff. And yeah, man, that Drew segment, that Drew Gulak segment was top tier. I loved it. It was so good. But let's follow it up. Let's talk about Monday Night Raw. Just happened last night. We already talked about all the drama of Sasha Banks and Naomi. So let's just start off with the steel cage match that I hated the graphic for. Omos with MVP taking on Mr. Bobbert Lashley. Before the match can begin, Cedric attacks Bobby Lashley during his entrance. They have this big pull-apart brawl. For a second, I was like, they're not going to cough this match, but they don't. They get Bobby into the ring and Omos in there. And this match continues. It's a pretty fun physical match with a little bit of storytelling of Omos learning, you know, how to combat Bobby and Bobby learning how to deal with the size of Omos. But in the end, Omos just slams Bobby Lashley through the wall of the steel cage. He hit that OMG moment, you know, in 2K22. And yeah, but instead of Omos, you know, like stepping out and just stepping onto the floor like they do in 2K, he stood there like, man, what do I do now? Like, oops. But Bobby, he gets the wherewithal. He stands up and he steps on the floor and he wins. He wins by escaping the cage. Yeah, it was a fine finish. It's not what I would have preferred, but because, I mean, you have Bobby Lashley in a steel cage match, and it felt like the right time for him to do that Umaga spot where he, you know, ran into the cage and the whole wall falls. But, you know, this is fine, I guess. MVP got involved a lot in this match, too, so this is definitely not the end of this feud. I just don't even know how Bobby Lashley could end this feud. He's going to definitely need somebody at his side to make this, like, fair, I guess. But I don't even know who. I mean, Shelton Benjamin's the only person I could think of. If Cedric is, you know, fully aligned with MVP and Omos. So we're going to have to see about that. Next up, we thought we were going to get Theory versus Mustafa Ali. But Theory makes his way down the ring. He talks about his mentor, Vince McMahon, telling him to always expect the unexpected. So he's telling Mustafa Ali that. This brings down The Miz. He's wearing his referee shirt still. He tells the real ref to leave, so she does. And then they announce that this match is not with Theory and Ali, but actually it's with Veer Mahan and Ali. So Veer is going to come all over Ali here. It's a pretty fun match. It's definitely Veer's like best match so far, just because it has Mustafa Ali, so how can it not be? There's so much interference going on here that plays into the finish, but eventually Veer comes to a victory with a lariat and the cervical clutch. After the match, there's a big brawl going down. I mean, they tell him to put him in the cervical clutch again. Theory goes to clear off the announce table, but then this brings out Rey Mysterio and Dom Mysterio, and they make the save for Ali. This is their return to Raw. They haven't been on Raw in a while. So yeah, good enough stuff. No Ciampa either, so that was a little bit weird, but good enough to keep me all right. After that, we get some details. They like address the six-pack challenge being nixed. Becky brings it up as she walks out, and she's talking to Pierce. She's like, they left, Naomi and Sasha, they left, which was weird to me. I didn't like that much. I thought it was a little bit, again, petty. This is also where Corey does that crack, I think, if I'm not wrong. But essentially, Becky says that she should be handed the number one contendership now, but Pierce says no, she'll have to face Asuka tonight in a one-on-one match. And then following that, we have a one-on-one match in Jimmy Uso taking on Matt Riddle. This is a really good match. Riddle has put on he's like an MVP of WWE, man. He just puts on good matches every single week. And now twice a week he has to do it. So kudos to him for that. But the Usos interfere like a lot. Jay specifically, he interferes a lot in this match, but one too many times as he gets caught trying to do the whole foot on his brother's butt to get extra leverage on the roll up. So he gets ejected. This distracts Jimmy. He turns around and he gets rolled up by Riddle for the win. After this, we have a Liv Morgan interview that was apparently filmed earlier in the day. She says she doesn't care about Judgment Day. She just wants her revenge. Los Lotharios come into frame and they say they need a third. And she says no. And then the Bullet Club make the save. AJ Styles and Finn, they're like there to be like, get away from her, dude. That's gross. After this, we get a Judgment Day promo. This is their best promo. I don't know. I like this one a lot more. There's still a lot of cheesy stuff going on in this. Punishment Martinez, Damian Priest, he still can't cut the best promo. And I felt Rhea's was okay talking about eradicating things. I thought it was better than Punishment Martinez. But the real good stuff came when Edge started talking. Essentially, he went into recruitment mode instead of, you know, the typical real, you know, you people promo. He wanted people to understand their message and their sacrifices they've made and why that's turned them. And he believes that he sees people who are tired of their same existence and tired of giving so much without receiving anything in return. And then he starts like specifically talking to AJ. And he wants AJ in the faction. He says that his tenacity would be well needed here. So it's good stuff. I really enjoyed this promo. It finally has like a point to it. It finally like reaches me as like, okay, this faction, they want AJ Styles because they know potential that's within him. And then also they see that potential in other people in the crowd. They acknowledge the crowd in a different way here. I enjoyed it. But then after that, we have AJ Styles and Finn Balor taking on Los Lotharios, which I was surprised that they got an entrance. But yeah, they got an entrance and a kiss cam. But then, yeah, it was a fun match. We see them lose to a combination of Phenomenal Forearm and Coup de Grace for the win. Before the Coup de Grace, I think Finn goes for that shotgun drop kick, and so he like taunts in the corner and then starts to make the run. Angel Garza like tries to cut him off and eats the turnbuckle, and then it gets hit with the Phenomenal Forearm. I love small details like that, like him realizing what's about to happen, tries to make the save but fails. It's good stuff. Makes the match feel dynamic. But then yeah, after that we have a backstage segment here with Kevin Owens and the Alpha Academy. Gable has an envelope of the DNA results from Ezekiel. Owens opens it up and says the results were contaminated by barbecue sauce. Who could that be? Owens and Gable both turn to Otis, and then Gable's like, it says the chain of custody on the samples was broken. The three bicker about like whose fault it is and stuff. And then Gable says it doesn't matter because next week he'll beat the truth out of Ezekiel. So that's good stuff. Following this, we have Alexa taking on Sonya again. This is a fine rematch. I really don't care about Alexa Bliss, guys. It's not my thing. But I do like seeing Sonya like finally have to deal with, I'm not an official anymore. I can't abuse my power. And I think she does a good job telling that story here. But she loses again to a DDT. And then after the match, she slaps the ref. And you know there's going to be consequences for that. But then after that, we have a really good promo segment between Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. Cody Rhodes talks, man, he's getting really good with these promos. I think he's found just the right voice in this feud, because he essentially just talks about like, Seth feels like I took something away from him, but Seth Rollins, you've had everything that I've ever wanted in my career. Like, you've been winning, and I've been losing all the time. I lost my way up here, you know? So there's some good stuff in there, but essentially he challenges Seth Rollins to Hell in a Cell. Seth gets on the Titantron, and he loves how much he's under Cody's skin, and he eventually does accept that challenge, so that's going to be a really good match. Following this, we have Chad Gable with Kevin Owens and Otis taking on Ezekiel. This is a fun match. Ezekiel gets the win after he reverses a roll-up. Following this, we have some Lacey Evans. She comes down the ring and cuts a pretty decent babyface promo about, like, breaking the cycle of abuse. And, this is a much better direction for her than trying to turn her heel. The crowd was much more into this. Following that, we have the main event. Becky Lynch taking on Oscar. This is like as good as you would expect. It's Becky Lynch and Oscar in a one-on-one match. Bianca Belair is there, she's at commentary, but she's not doing commentary. So Becky, towards the end of this match, she's starting to realize she's not going to win it clean. So she starts to pick at Bianca. She like shoves her, and then she kicks her, like she grinds the top of her boot in her face. And this gets Bianca fired up. She gets up on the apron, distracts the ref. Asuka's down in the ring. Becky looks at the umbrella that Asuka brings to the ring. She picks it up, going to whack Asuka with it, but Asuka missed her instead and hits a buzzsaw kick for the win. It will be Asuka and Bianca Belair for the Raw Women's Championship. That's going to be a really good match. Like I said, I don't know, you know, what that six-pack challenge was going to be. I know there was reports that Naomi might have been the one to have won that. That would have been very interesting, but it just, I don't know. You never know what was pitched. Maybe something was like, maybe they were going to break them up. Maybe they were going to do something they didn't really feel comfortable doing. And, you know, I'm here for workers' rights, man. I'm workers' rights all the way. I don't care. I'm going to die on that hill. I think Sasha Banks and Naomi are fine for leaving. And now we get Asuka versus Bianca. And I think that's a great substitute. Overall, WWE kind of smacked with this week of wrestling. This was a good week to watch everything. Let's move along to AEW. Again, I think AEW had some good stuff. I didn't think everything landed, but I'm excited for a lot of stuff going on here. First of all, this is my match of the week. AEW Dynamite openers are just like surefire, usually a really good match. And this was my match of the week for AEW. My match of the week, actually, overall, I guess we should talk about it now because I don't cover NXT UK. But Ilya Dragunov and Jordan Devlin had their blow-off match in a Loser Leaves NXT UK match for the UK title. And that match is just outstanding. Go out of your way to watch that. If you have the Peacock, it's on there. It's just like a really good 20-minute match. And you get a brain buster on the top rope in WWE. When did you ever think you would see that? Just fantastic. That's my match of the week overall. But this, Adam Cole and Dax Harwood, this is my match of AEW's week. Stellar match. Dax Harwood sadly had to submit to the sharpshooter. Just really good stuff. Definitely go out of your way to watch this as well. Following this, we have CM Punk taking on the Meat Man, Johnny Hungy, John Silver. This is a fine match. Definitely let John Silver shine here. He's a great wrestler. Paige is on commentary. He doesn't really do much on commentary, but in the end, Punk gets the win with a buckshot lariat, really sending a message to Hangman Page. This brings Hangman down to the ring, and he's just like fierce, man. He's very stone cold. When he walks down that ramp with so much intensity. He grabs a mic. Punk grabs a mic. Punk says that Paige is taking things too personal. Punk says it's not personal for him. It's just business. He said that he used to look in the mirror and ask himself if he's that guy. But now he knows he's that guy. And he's going to be champion. Punk then Punk said that he just kicked Paige's boy's ass. And that's the blueprint for what's to come at Double or Nothing. Punk then offers his hand for a handshake, but Paige gets right in his face, middle finger right in the face, flips him off, and exits. This is good stuff, man. Good stuff. Following this, we have Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, backstage with her buddies, Jamie Hayter and Rebel, backstage. They're getting interviewed by Tony Schiavone. Britt says that it's not fair that everyone else gets to know their opponent, but she has to fight the Joker and that she won't be able to properly prepare for this. Britt then says Hayter will beat Toni Storm tonight, and if she, and Tony's like, well, if she does that, then you know you guys are gonna have to meet in the semifinals. And Britt says, well, yeah, I mean, it'll be a fair fight. The better woman will win. When she says that, she looks right at Rebel like, we cheating to win that. But you don't have to worry about that. But we'll talk about that later. So following that, we have the debut of Danhausen. He takes on Tony Nese. This did not go the way I expected it to go at all. Very fast match. Mark Sterling immediately gets up on the apron to receive a curse that was meant for Tony Nese. Danhausen loaded up a curse, you know, the two hands rising up. And then Sterling gets on the apron, so he gets the curse. Tony Nese takes advantage of the distraction, shoves him into the corner, hits the running Nese for the win. And then they get on the mic. Mark Sterling's like, how do you feel, Tony, that you didn't even get an entrance? And so he hits another running Nese on Danhausen. This brings out Hook to make the save. And we officially, they shake hands. We can officially say we have Hookhausen. It's great stuff. The crowd was so into this, as they should be. Speaking of things that the crowd were really into, we have the MJF and Wardlow contract signing. I love MJF in Long Island. He gets that crowd just in the palm of his hands, and they love him. They love him because no one likes Long Island. So when you got someone who does, you know, you got to rally behind them. But yeah, the whole thing is just like really good crowd playing. At one point, he makes this big old spiel. He's like, should we let Wardlow speak now? It'd be a shame if the entire crowd just booed him out of existence. And so when he lets Wardlow speak, he can't because they're booing him so much. And then he asks, well, should we give him another try? And they say, no, we shouldn't. So Wardlow doesn't get to speak. The conditions are read out. He's going to have to absorb 10 lashes. Which was a great lead up because MJF was like, he's going to get one lash, no two lash, no three, no four, no five. And then all the way up to when Sean Spears loads up, takes off his jacket, gets right in Wardlow's face and 10 lashes. It was great, great stuff. So he's going to have to take 10 lashes and then also be in a steel cage match against Sean Spears, which Wardlow's like, that's your ass. And then MJF cuts him off and he's like, you're 0-2 in a cage, buddy. Oh, so good. So good. So he's going to be in a steel cage match against Sean Spears with the special guest referee of MJF. After this, after he says these conditions, Wardlow accepts them and Wardlow looks to sign the contract, but he says he can't with the cuffs on. So MJF, being so hubris, so full of himself in this moment, he's like, take the cuffs off him. So they do. It takes a minute, but they do it. And then he signs it. They go to cuff him again. He pretends like he's gonna allow it, but he slams one of the security guards' head into the table, destroys all the security around him, clears the ring of anybody, and it's just him and MJF, and he looks to powerbomb MJF. But just in that moment, Mark Sterling hops on Wardlow's back, allowing MJF to escape. But then Mark Sterling, a recipient of the curse of Danhausen, he gets powerbombed through the table to end this segment. It was fantastic stuff. Just great stuff, great stuff. Following this, we have Ricky Starks taking on Jungle Boy for the FTW title. This is a fun match. The finish sees Ricky try to cheat with the title belt, and then Swerve Strickland makes his way down, and he kind of makes the save from him getting hit with the title. But in doing so, he overtly costs Jungle Boy the match because Jungle Boy gets Ricky in a roll-up, has him down for the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10... but the referee's too distracted by Swerve being there, so, you know, he doesn't count. Then referee finally gets in the ring, and Ricky is able to roll up Jungle Boy for the win. This brings out Christian Cage and Luchasaurus. Christian kind of shoves past Swerve, which makes Swerve a little upset. Hobbs is there ringside. They stare down. Keith Lee comes out. And so all three teams stare down. We have a good moment, though, where Christian kind of gives Jungle Boy a hug. Like, he's not engaging in the stare down. He's kind of just like, man, I did it. I lost again. Christian coming there for emotional support, although it did kind of seem like Christian was going to turn on him there, but he didn't. So, you know, nice, nice dad moment. Following this, we get a lot of dads in here. We have the Jericho Appreciation Society celebration. Jericho starts like talking a little bit, but it doesn't take long for this to fall apart. As Moxley makes his way down the ring, Jericho's like, there's one of you and five of us. So then Danielson, Yuta, and I think Yuta was there. Yeah, and Regal make their way down to the ring. And, you know, they're like, we still have the numbers advantage. And then from behind, Eddie Kingston, Santana, and Ortiz are flanking them on the other end. So it's like Jericho Appreciation Society in the middle of the ring, all lined up. And then you have BCC get up on one apron. Eddie and his pals get up on the other. Then they come into the ring and just start wailing on him. It's a great segment. The crowd is hot for this feud. And I'm glad to see Blackpool Combat Club be included in something. Although I wish they would have, like, Jericho's crew should have pissed them off more intentionally. I feel like this is a little bit of a shoehorn. But I think I'm okay with it in the end. But yeah, in the end of the segment, Jericho gets choked out by Eddie Kingston. Goes to the outside and gets his wrist clinched by Regal, who pulls him in for a nice pop, a good punch right in Jericho's face. And following this, we have Toni Storm and Jamie Hayter duking it out. This is a very stiff match with a lot of German suplexes. But finally, Toni gets the clean win with that snap pile driver, the Storm Zero, for the win there. Great match. This match is crazy. This match was insane. Jeff Hardy versus Darby Allin. It was announced that this match would be a no holds barred. During the show, they were like, why do this under normal rules? So they went all out. We get like immediately Darby launches himself at Jeff, and it looks like he took Jeff's entire rib cage with him. But then that gives them time to set up this like six steel chair fort, you know, how they put like the seat to seat, you know. It's insane. Jeff gets a little bit of an upper hand. He brings out like a 15-foot ladder, sets it up in the ring at the very edge of the ring. So these chairs are on the ramp. There's a ladder in the ring, but on the edge to where, you know, someone could theoretically jump off of that, and that's what ends up happening. Darby Allin like gets the advantage. Jeff is near the chairs. Darby gets up possibly like 15, 16 feet in the air with that ladder that's inside the ring, does a swanton off of it to the outside. Jeff catches him onto the chairs. It's insane. If you somehow went through your week without watching that spot, I don't know how you did it, because it was everywhere. But that's just like the beginning. That's the opening third of this match. Later, Jeff swantons himself onto the steel steps, just onto nothing. Darby misses a coffin drop on the apron. And the finish, crazy enough, sees Darby hit a coffin drop in the ring. He's got his back on him for the pin. 1-2, Jeff turns into a crucifix pin and gets the win that way. So Jeff Hardy advances to face Adam Cole in the Owen Hart tournament. Excalibur with a great call, saying that all the craziness we saw in this match, to have this match end with a standard wrestling move, is outstanding. And I couldn't agree more. This Dynamite was a lot of fun. It offered just the full gamut of good wrestling and good entertaining segments. Let's talk Rampage now. Rampage was pretty good, I felt. It wasn't the most must-see, but it was fun. We had a Death Triangle taking on the Butcher, Blade, and Mark Quinn to start it off. And obviously, Mark Quinn eats the pin here with a Fear Factor and Black Arrow combination. After the match, House of Black, you know, lights go out, they come up. House of Black's there. They stare down with Death Triangle. Lights go out, lights come back up. They've disappeared. Still teasing that feud. I think just this feud has been a long one just because of the injury Rey Fénix had, the travel restrictions, that podcast. I'm hoping this kind of wraps up at Double or Nothing. It's been good, and everyone in this feud is really talented. It's just, you know, it's been a while. Let's wrap it up. Following this, we have Shawn Spears proving to himself to be a giant killer against Bear Boulder. After he hits him with a C4 for the win, and then after the match, he just assaults him with steel chair shots, which is so rude. Following that, we have Ruby Soho taking on Rio in a great match. Great match. Ruby gets the win here with a Blade Runner. I didn't want to go beat by beat, but you should definitely watch that match too. After this, we have the Gun Club and the Acclaim making stable decisions. They're like, now that we're a faction, we need to have a catchphrase. And so the Gun Club's kids, they're pitching DX stuff. They're pitching, like, their hand signals should be the crotch chop. And I think they pitched the, oh, you didn't know. But then Max Caster's like, well, maybe our catchphrase should just be, hey, yo, yo, listen. And Billy Gunn loves it. He's like, wow, that's so good. Like, the first time he's ever heard it. It was a fun, cheesy segment. I enjoyed it. Following this, we have Scorpio Sky. Well, actually, and then Billy Gunn's like, using my influence, I got us all a match next week. And they're like, oh, on Dynamite? And he's like, better. Oh, on Rampage? Better. Where? On Elevation. So, you know, they had a match this past Monday. And I think they won that pretty handedly. But following that, we have the main event. Scorpio Sky taking on Frankie Kazarian. This is a fun match. How can it not be a fun match? These two know each other so well. And, man, for as old as they both are, they are still killing it, man. They're killing it. Sky wins, though, after Ethan Page blasts Frankie Kazarian in the back of the head with the title belt. We think that Scorpio didn't want him to do that. Well, one, we think that Scorpio didn't see it at all. He didn't know it happened. So Frankie, after the match, is like, your boy just blasted me with the belt. And he's like, what? No way. He takes the belt away from him. And then he hits Frankie Kazarian with the belt, too, fully turning on him, killing this babyface run that they had. Which I kind of think is a mistake. It's rare you get an organic babyface, and I think Scorpio Sky is that. Like, he is, people want to root for him, and to consistently do this to his character, I'm not a big fan of it. So we'll see how this ends up. I don't know. I would have rather just like a conflict of like morals here, of him having to deal with Ethan Page constantly being a heel. Him wanting to do things the right way, and, you know, I think that would have been a more interesting story. It's kind of similar to what they're doing with Tyler Bate and Trent Seven, but I think this has, like, you know, this has a little extra kick to it because you have people like Sammy Guevara in the mix, Frankie Kazarian, their manager, whatever, America's Top Team, Dan Lambert in the mix. So, yeah, I think this could have been a little bit better told. Even if your eventual turn is he, you know, aligns back with Paige, I think you could have dragged this out just a little more. But anyways, you guys, that's going to be it for me today. I hope you guys enjoyed. Please leave this podcast a rating, review, share this podcast. It would really help things out. I love doing this, watching wrestling and talking about it with you guys. It's a lot of fun. I looked into the Patreon thing and it won't let me make things free. I'm gonna put the link to the Patreon. You'll see what I'm talking about. You can go on there and you can see everything, but you can't like save me or like just follow me. So that's unfortunate. But all my podcasts are gonna be there now, and then I'm also posting the notes to these shows in case you just want to read instead of, you know, hearing me. So that's all gonna be available. I'll update y'all next week on the process with that and if it's like really working or whatever. But if you want to chip in on the Patreon, that'd be really nice. Right now, I don't really have any bonus content planned, just on my schedule. But I hope to do something with that soon. Y'all have a good one, man. Be safe. This is a crazy world. Bye.